Hello and welcome. You're listening to a podcast by Pastor Fred Thompson at Mount Gilead Baptist Church.
How many of you this morning, before you left your house and came to church today, how many of you got ready? I'm looking around. I'm expecting to have 100% of the people raise their hand because everybody's dressed, and as best I can tell from up here, everybody's presentable. I mean, you know, for some of you, you took a shower last night or a bath last night, and for others, they took a shower or a bath this morning. We all got up and ladies put their makeup on, got dressed. We picked out the clothes we were going to put on for today. I'm hoping that we all put on our deodorant for the day. I'm hoping that we all brushed our teeth for today. Some of us guys brushed our hair, and other of us, like Rex, really didn't have to do a whole lot of brushing of their hair this morning. Takes just as much time to fix no hair as it does to brush your hair. By the way, today is Rex's birthday, if you want to say something to him before the day's over with. So, and last week was Kelly's, and didn't get to announce that last week. So it's like a family affair these 2 weeks for birthdays. But Rex says he's older. Anyway, we all did something to get ready today, didn't we? Before we left the house, we got prepared. And for getting ready to go out, in some ways it was serious for us because we wanted to look presentable when we got outside. And you know, coming to church this morning, we wanted to look nice when we got here for people that would see us. Today, we're in the study in Ecclesiastes right now, and it's the pursuit chasing answers to life questions. And the question we're going to look at today is the question, how can I truly worship God? Now, Solomon's been in the middle of asking all these questions. He's been observing life going on around him, and he's been trying to answer the question, what's the meaning of life? And he's gone through all these things in which he just finds it meaningless. He says, under the sun, as I observe things, as I touch, taste, smell, feel, whatever, I don't see any meaning in this. There's nothing that brings meaning to life. When he gets to chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, and you may want to go ahead and turn in your Bible to chapter 5, there's like a little interlude. And really, for the first time in the book of Ecclesiastes, he begins to say something about how we're going to find the meaning of life. Where do we begin at? And it begins with this idea of worship. And so, if you've got your Bible there, we'll look at only the first 7 verses of Ecclesiastes today. Let's look first of all at verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. We look at that very first thing, and the first thing he says is guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Now, a little bit of understanding here. In Solomon, when he wrote this, he was talking about going to the temple. Now, Solomon had spent like 7 years building the temple. It had taken 153,000 people working for 7 years to build the temple. This was a magnificent place. And it was the place where God met with them. It had inside the temple the Holy of Holies. And God's presence was there. And so when people went to the temple, they were going to the place where the Holy of Holies was located. They were going to the place where they understood God's presence would be at. Now, we don't have a temple today. In 70 AD, that temple was destroyed, and it doesn't exist any longer. In fact, if you go to Israel, all you find is what's called the Wailing Wall. It's all that's left of the temple right now. And so we don't have the temple today. But you and I, on Sunday mornings, we get up and we come to a building that we call the church. Now, honestly, this isn't the church. The church is us. I want you to understand that. But we also refer to the building as the church. Now, the building itself is not like the temple. It doesn't have a Holy of Holies in it. You know, there's no place in here where we have a curtain that's hanging that nobody but the high priest can go behind it or they'll die. It's a building. But it is a building in which we come together to worship God on Sunday morning. And so, even though we don't have a Holy of Holies, even though it doesn't have that holy place in it, here's one of the things that is similar between our church building here and the temple, is that we ought to still come with an attitude of reverence. We ought to still come with an attitude and a desire to be in the presence of God. If you were listening at all to the words of the songs today, what you heard were songs that were talking about coming into the presence of God. And so whenever you look at this first verse of Scripture, what you find is this: when we're approaching God's presence, we need to prepare. Just like you got dressed this morning to come to this building, if we're going to come into the presence of God, we need to come into the presence prepared. That phrase, guard your steps, some have said that it literally would mean something like this: pay attention to your steps, or pay attention to the direction of your feet. Now, what in the world does it mean, pay attention to your feet, or pay attention to the direction of your feet? Well, here's just a simple thing. The direction of your feet determines the direction of your life. Now, I'm not Michael Jackson, and I can't moon dance or moonwalk. Y'all know what that is, don't you? But Michael Jackson could look this way and go this way. You'll just laugh if I try that this morning. That's as close as I can come. All right? I can't moonwalk. So I'm going to tell you, whatever direction my feet are pointed is the direction I'm going to go. And so in life, that's the direction I'm going to go. If I start moving in the direction of my feet right now, my life's not going to last very long, because I'm going to go off the end of this platform. Our feet determine the direction of our life. And so what he's saying is this: guard the direction you're going. Pay attention to it. Guarding implies this: we don't approach worship casually. In other words, when we come into the presence of God, we don't come in it some kind of, you know, hey, you know. We're going to come into the presence of God seriously. We're going to come with an idea that we are going to meet with God. He is our friend, don't get me wrong, but he's also God. He's a holy God. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He's the God who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. We need to come into his presence as a friend, but not just casually. There are a lot of different responses to worship at church, and I've listed some of those for you there. Now, you may come up with a whole lot longer list than the list that I've given you, but here's some. Some people check out before they arrive. In other words, there are some people that the only reason they go to church is because mommy and daddy said you've got to go, or a husband or wife says you're going to come with me today or else. And before you ever pull on the parking lot of the church, you've already got your mind made up: I'm not interested. I was listening to a video clip of one of the rock singers from the group Black Sabbath. Any of you young people know Black Sabbath? Ozzy Osbourne was the thing. He came to know that he got saved. This, not Ozzy Osbourne, but this guy got saved, and it was talking about, he was talking about how these construction workers came to his house that were Christian, and they asked him if they could pray for him, and he said, "I don't have anything to do with your God. I don't have anything to do with him at all." In other words, he checked out wanting to know anything about God before they ever asked him. He just didn't want to have anything to do with it. Now, obviously, God broke through that, and he eventually did trust Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Some people check out before they arrive. Some people check out after they get here. They get here, and things aren't exactly the way they want them to be, and their minds, they've said, "This is it. I don't have any interest in this. I'm going to tune out." And so they've come here to meet with fellow believers in the presence of God, but they sort of click off the desire to be there. They check out. Some people are only interested in what they get out of it. In other words, they're here today to be entertained, or they're in church somewhere to be entertained. They've come because they want to hear something that makes them feel good, that wants them to pump up themselves, and they don't want to hear anything wrong going on. They simply want to see entertainment. Some are only interested in what they put into it. Now, listen, when you come to be a part of the family of God, God wants you to serve. And there is things that you have to put into worship when you come. We'll hopefully see that in a second. But there are some people that only come to church to be seen. And they want to be in front of people. And they want to be out there. Why? So people can see them. And by what they're doing, it makes people say, "Oh, aren't they godly people?" Some people are here because they really want to meet with God. Now, you may come up with a whole lot more on the list here, but there are some here because they want to meet with God. What Solomon is saying is this. Before you come to worship, you need to prepare yourself. Here's an interesting thought. Our actions on Monday through Saturday have an impact on our worship on Sunday. Now, let me explain that to you. Most of you know that I worked out in the secular world before God called me into full-time ministry. I worked as an engineer down in Warner Robins, and a lot of my work was going down to the flight line and working with guys who were in maintenance and that kind of thing. And so there were a lot of guys that when I'd go down to the flight line, I'd hear, y'all couldn't say a word that I probably outheard. And you couldn't tell an off-color joke that somewhere along the way I haven't heard. Didn't seem to bother them. And then when I felt God's call into the ministry and it became obvious to everyone that, and everybody knew that I went to church. I mean, it wasn't like I kept that a secret. But when they found out that I was getting ready to resign as an engineer and go to seminary to study for ministry, it was incredibly fascinating to me that how many of those people who used that colorful language and told off-color jokes suddenly became religious around me. As a matter of fact, I've heard other pastors say when people ask them what they do, they don't tell them that they're a minister. They say something else because you know what happens? People become unreal. they suddenly become religious when they're talking to you. And these men that I knew Monday through Saturday live like the devil started talking about what they did when they went to church on Sunday. Now, here's the thing. If you live like the devil during the week but try to live like Jesus on Sunday, you know what the Bible calls that? A hypocrite. It says that you're putting on a mask. You're being something that you really aren't. Now here, I got news for you. If you're a hypocrite Monday through Saturday, you're one on Sunday too. Doesn't change. If you want to worship God, you've got to prepare Monday through Saturday. You can't be one thing 6 days of the week and expect to be something different on Sunday just to come and impress people. And that's what Solomon is saying. He's saying, guard your steps before you even get to the temple. Pay attention to where you're going. Make sure your life is pointed towards God before you ever get to the temple. Point your feet towards God. A second thing he says in that same verse is this, to draw near to listen. Listen. In the presence of God, we need to listen. I don't know if you've ever paid attention to most of the people that I've look at and you look at and everything else, but God seems to have given everybody here two ears and one mouth. Now, if you go to the evolutionist, he would probably tell you that the reason we have two ears is so that we can determine the direction of sounds, and that way if we're being chased by some predator, we know which direction he's coming from and which direction to run. I want to say that I think there may be a spiritual reason behind it. God wants us to listen as twice as much as he wants us to talk. You know, he gave us two ears to listen and one mouth to talk. Now, evaluation is really important. And when we have services and we worship on Sunday morning, I evaluate. How did the service go? What happened? But you know, there's a fine line between evaluation and criticism. And as I was preparing for this sermon, there were two devotions this week that just spoke to my heart when I picked them up and started looking at them. Some of you may use Our Daily Bread. And this morning when I picked up Our Daily Bread to look at the scripture for today and just have a quiet thought and meditating on God this morning, here was the title of it, Careless Speech. And it says, the key verse was, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. It says this, when my wife and I were visiting a church for a special musical program, we arrived early to get a good seat. Before the program began, we overheard two members seated behind us complaining about their church. They criticized the pastoral staff, the leadership, the music, the ministry priorities, and several other things that made them unhappy. They were either unconcerned about or oblivious to the presence of two visitors in their midst. It occurred to me that their unfortunate conversation could have pushed us away if we were there looking for a new church home. Worse, what if we were seeking God and their disgruntled opinions had driven us away? Their careless speech was not just a matter of the words they used or attitudes they displayed. It also demonstrated their lack of concern for the impact those words could have on others. Do you know sometimes we can be really guilty of coming to worship and spending more time talking, maybe criticizing other people, maybe talking about people in the community, rather than coming with a desire to stop and listen? You see, one of the verses of Scripture that's printed for you there says this: draw near to listen. Oh, I'm sorry, it's actually James 4. Look down right below that. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That draw near in this verse to listen implies that God has something to say. He may speak through a prayer, He may speak through the words of a song, or He may speak through His word as it's preached. But He has something to say, and He wants us to listen. Now, as I was doing this sermon this morning, I'm thinking, there is no way I can get through this message and follow really what Solomon is saying here without stepping on somebody's toes, including my own. So let me just go ahead and get this out of the way. I'm anticipating that before this message is over with, I will have stepped on every one of your toes somehow or the other, including mine. Because you see what? I've realized that there's been times when I've been, I can't say it here because I'm the one that's doing the message, but I've been in other churches, and what I found when I'm sitting there is this. You know what? My mind is not on what the pastor is saying or the speaker is saying. My mind on is, wow, can't he get the tenses of his verbs right? Can't he read a verse of Scripture? You know, that's true. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but we've all been there. And what God is saying is this: listen, listen. I'm calling you to draw near to me, and I've got something to say to you, so listen. Here was a remark I ran across: worship has not happened if we are all talk and no action. There was a guy named Robert Weber that wrote a book, and the title of the book is this: Worship is a Verb. Somehow we've gotten the impression that worship is simply coming to a building and sitting, maybe singing songs, and someone prays and someone speaks, and then we get in our cars and we go home and we say we worship God. Not necessarily. If there's not anything taking place in the heart, if you haven't heard God speak to you, if you haven't and somehow felt the presence of God, you haven't worshiped. Because that's what worship is. Worship is coming into the presence of God and letting God work in your heart. In many of our churches today, many of the churches, too often worship has become about me. It's what entertains me or makes me feel good. It's me, 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 me. Or I. I'm hoping that we don't come to that place. I do hope that when you come to a service here that you leave encouraged. I hope you leave knowing that God loves you and that God has a desire in your life for you to serve Him and a purpose for you. But I also want you to leave challenged. You know, because I'm going to tell you, when I'm doing a message up here, I get challenged. God works in my heart. He works in my heart before the message, and He works in my heart after the message. There have been times when after I've shared a message that God has, the weak fallen, says, did you really mean what you said on Sunday? You know, God wants us to be serious when we come here, and He wants to work in our heart.